Hey, everybody. Well, it's I think like 1 minute past two, so if we can, let's go ahead and hit roll. I know we have a forum of the board here, it sounds like. And this meeting tonight, or this afternoon, shouldn't take us a long, long time, so that'll be a plus for us, all right? And just everybody remember, put your phones on mute when you're not. And if you can, please, to keep that background noise from coming through. We also have a Oregon Commission for the Blind board meeting. I believe that begins at 3 today. So let's go ahead and call a roll. Art Stevenson, are you here?
I'm here.
Derek Stevenson?
Yeah.
Gary Bird?
Yep.
Steve Gordon?
Accounted for.
Steve Jackson?
I'm right here.
All right. We have Lynn James.
You ready?
Great minute.
Hey, Lynn. Do we have Kathy Dominique? Do we have Char McKenzie?
Here.
Hey, Char. Do we have Carol Kenny?
Here.
Hi, Carol. Do we have Tessa Brown? Okay. Do we have Sal Barraza? And do we have Gordon Smith?
Yeah.
Okay, welcome, Gordon. Do we have Harold Young? Do we have LaWanda Miranda?
Present.
Hi, LaWanda. Join us.
Hi, LaWanda.
Do we have anybody else on the line that would like to announce themselves? And we do have Eric Morris in the room.
Eric? John Ings is on.
That's what I'm thinking.
They are. Eric, you're on?
I am here.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else want to announce himself? Please. Johnny. Hey, Johnny. Welcome. Who else? Anybody else want to announce himself? Okay. Well, here ain't nobody else. Let's go ahead and call me to order with your board. And then please... your phone when you're not talking, and come through. We wanted to hold this meeting just to bring everybody. There's still a lot of background noise there. I don't know if somebody has their phone knocking it.
Sorry.
Right, that's all right. Thank you. Anyway, we wanted to hold this meeting just to bring everybody up to date on what's going on with the legislation, and it's been kind of a whirl here the last week or so because heard both in public hearing and last minute amendments that were introduced and so forth and so on. When we scheduled this meeting, the amendments that were introduced, amendment number two and amendment number three, were introduced about the participation of the elected committee and or the support of the elected committee appear at this point to not be moving forward. I don't know if you call them dead or not, but our intention with this meeting was to share our official position on that, and we may still do that, but I did invite John Eames. We do have public comment also. But I did want to invite John Eames. I know he's a busy, busy guy. And so if we can, let's go ahead and have John, if you would, John, give us an update on what's going on, what's been going on, and what we're looking at forward, if you would, please, relative to House Bill 3253.
You bet. So the bill has was heard in committee. And Randy, right, there were two amendments that were introduced late, sadly, in that process. The amendments didn't get adopted. They didn't vote on any of the amendments, so they're not part of the bill by any means. But they are out there, and they are on OLIS if you guys want to look at them if you haven't already. The bill is scheduled for a work session next week. We've heard indications from Representative Clay Dyer's office that they their intent is to move it to the Rules Committee. And the reason it's moved to the Rules Committee is because the Rules Committee is not subject to any deadlines as these other policy committees are. So her intent is to have continue to work on the bill to see if there can be something that could work, be worked out. And the only way to do that is to keep it alive by moving it to another committee. So the latest information that we have from Representative Kenny Geyer is that she is intending to move the bill to rules, and the work will continue there. But that bill is scheduled, I think, for next Tuesday, the 18th. So we will see exactly what happens then.
Yeah, thank you, John. And I received that same information from Representative Kenny Geyer's office. And it's also my understanding that, you know, not only do we want to find some kind of ability to be successful with this bill as we move forward, so we're going to try and bring the parties to the table and find out how we can make that happen if at all possible. I do know that there's a request for transparency or better accountability and better transparency of this agency, and there's also a request that the licensed blind vendors come to the table and work together. Hey, if somebody's off mute, if you guys could put your phone on mute, please. Whoever just joined on, if you could put your phone on mute, I sure appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Randy, I'm doing it right now. It's Kathy Dominique.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Anyway, so that's what I heard, and I think it's good news. I do have several meetings on Monday with some of the committee members, and I'm going to update them on, you know, our discussions, and also have a meeting scheduled with Alana and John. I did reach out to you. I don't know if you're available at that time or.
I am. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Yes. Just letting up.
Okay. But anyway, so I don't know if there's any questions of John. I know you're busy, but if there's no questions, let's go ahead and see, you know, if there's any questions, ask him, and if not, we'll go ahead and let John go and move forward. Well, thanks, John, for joining in.
All right, thank you, guys.
You bet, everybody. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to public comment. Is there any public comment? Any public comment that you want to? Okay. We'll go ahead and move on to number three for Benjamin's House 3253, number dash two, 53-3. And again, I know that what I can tell you is those amendments came in just minutes before the public meeting on House Bill 3253 began. And when we finally got a chance to read and review those, I know they raised a lot of many believe that they were not in compliance with the federal regulations, and there was no active participation, and there were some other concerns relative to that, and we addressed those concerns with Representative Geyer, and we shared those concerns also with the other committee members, and I do know that Representative Kenny Geyer did informed me, much to her credit, that I think she heard our voice of concern, and she is going to graciously move our bill to the rules, where it will allow us to continue to work on our bill, and not going to move the amendments forward with that bill. Now, John said those are still out there, so it may be, you know, maybe wise for us to take a position on those amendments. I don't know if everybody was able to access those or not, but I can summarize them for you. There was a required 30% set aside that would be set for those who use subcontractors, and then there was some rebate incentives for those who would use healthy vending that was determined by the Commission for the Blind, and those who self-served and did self-service and those who also hired somebody who's disabled. And then amendment number two was requiring a mandate of a blind person to conduct more than 51% of, I guess, their business on their facility or in their route. It was a very custodial type of thing. Personally, without being disrespectful, I believe it was not, those amendments were not well thought out. We shared those. I know many of you weren't able to join in on the call the other day, but we shared our concerns with Workforce Policy Advisor Turtle Guinea that, look at, we had a meeting and we were understanding we were going to continue to talk and try and work through these, and bam, all of a sudden these amendments come out. So again, I don't think they were well thought out, and they appear to have a lot of violations with the both the current regulations through our handbook and also the federal regulations. And it's clear that set aside has to be determined with active participation, and it's clear that set aside has to be, the rate of set aside has to be approved by the Secretary of Education, and it's clear that this just can't be a mandated requirement included in our state statutes. And there were some other things relative to healthy vending. It can't be at the whim of the agency. It has to be determined again through active participation and in conjunction with that. And I'll also share with you that we did a national survey of DEP managers, directors across the land, and I got quite a good response in Madison. Almost every director who responded identified that no decision such as this can be made without active participation of the elected committee. There was a couple states that had a set-aside scheme that was identified in their state statutes, but again, it was done through active participation and with the approval of the Secretary of Education and so forth and so on. So with that, I don't know if there's any questions. I don't know if I can answer any of the questions, but if anybody has any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. And with that,
Gary Bird.
Yes, Gary Bird.
I got a couple just little ones here on, the first one is, I know this says amendments 2 and 3. Is number one the bill itself, or is number one the one that we have coming back?
Yeah, number one, Jerry, and thanks. Yeah, number one, as I understand it, are the amendments that we submitted. I identify them as the blinders amendments. Those were the ones that were... the creation was assisted by the use of Terry Smith and Ronnie Hurd and Carrie Allen, and with our insight and input as well. Those are legislative, so they're pretty comprehensive. And so I think that's why it's taken a while for those to get back. They were sent in March 30th, and they weren't expected to be back before yesterday. We're following up to see where those are right now. But one thing good about our bill being sent to rules is it does not have a timeline. So if, you know, for instance, if our bill could have still remained in house and they would have voted on the work session on Tuesday, if our amendments wouldn't have been there, you know, it wouldn't have been a good thing. So I'll keep everybody posted. Once those come out, everybody will get a copy of those as well. But I hope they come out really soon.
So. I got one more. Randy?
Yeah, Jerry, go ahead.
Okay. And I want everybody to kind of know that we're not sure who came up with the 30%. But that kind of shows you, because even if you go, I don't like the idea that some people aren't out there doing as much work and stuff, and that's all, you know, people can feel. But I want you all to know that no matter if you do some of your self-serve and some of the other stuff, you're still, you set aside where it is right now, it's probably going to double. I mean, they're starting out at 30, they'll give you 9, give you 2 off, you know. I don't know if any of you have thought, even if you go fill them all yourself and you work your cafeterias to death, they want your set aside to go up, so, and your benefits are still zero, so. Just kind of understand when they when we do stuff like that to really look at how is it going to affect where we stand today. So, and then you got to wonder about, you know, set aside. I think some other states that might have higher set aside, I would believe that that's because their set aside comes back to the managers maybe in benefits of some sort. So you're all throwing a little bit more in the can. But sadly, here in Oregon, the can just goes to the state. So, and we don't get benefits, although they. So anyway, I want people to keep that in. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. And that's one thing. Once we get these results back from the states that we received information from, I will send them out to everybody. What I can tell you is the highest set aside I saw was in Nevada, and that went on an ascending scale, so it depended on what you made, so forth and so on. There's quite a few states that have no set aside. The average seemed to be about what we were doing, but you're right again, Jerry, that the expenditure of set aside is supposed to be done and determined with active participation. And not supposed to be just an established practice that is carried on. If you pull up the agreement that the licensing agency entered into with Governor Bob Straub years ago, it clearly identifies the authority of the Commission for the Blind to actively participate with the, and to administer the program and all the provisions. And so, I would like to hear from Eric, I don't think Dish is on the line, but I would like to hear from Eric if the agency, when they found out about these provisions, if they notified the governor's office that this was a violation to the state licensing agency's requirement to administer the program because it violated the process of establishing set-aside. So I'd like to know that, and or what involvement the agency had in that, or if they just, you know, sat there and did nothing. So if you could share that with the group, I think.
Well, Randy, I think Alana outlined pretty well the agency's involvement the other day, that basically, you know, you guys introduced the bill that was introduced, and so as an agency, we were on the sidelines. We don't have involvement in it, so, yeah.
So did you share with the governor's office once that they were trying to set aside through the...
No.
Statute that was improper?
No.
You know what Daisha Johnson did? Because as the executive director of the agency, she should be aware of those requirements. Do you know if she did by chance?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have a question?
Randy?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, in the meeting, with Alana, she was kind of under the thought that the state program was separate from the federal program, which we all know isn't true. And so I believe, you know, that kind of talk has kind of come from the AG's office, because they have, you know, taken the stand that our program, you know, as a whole, the state stuff is separate from the federal stuff, when it isn't. And so, just so everybody knows, I'm working on getting some clarification for the governor's office you know, as I mentioned in the meeting with Alana, that RSA and the merchants have had training classes for AGs on the nuances of the program and the kind of things that can and can't be done, and I'm working on that to make sure the governor's office has that information so that we kind of quit having all these crazy problems that we keep having because of the misconception that, that our state program is separate from our federal program, and that we can adopt rules and regulations and make the managers who run state locations do things differently or whatever. So we definitely have to work on clarifying this, and that way we can move forward in this legislative process and make sure that we dot our I's and cross our T's, and make sure that the introduced legislation does coincide with the federal program and doesn't have any things in there that are inappropriate. And so also, you know, these amendments, as we knew, were in violation of the laws and rules and regulations. And so I would like to say that the elected committee, or make a motion that the elected committee absolutely does not support the amendments that were introduced, and also that we make sure that anything that does go in this legislation does mirror the federal act to make sure that everyone is treated fairly and equitably. So I would like to make that motion that we don't support those amendments, plus we make sure that anything that is introduced into the legislation is in compliance with the federal act and doesn't have any problems with it.
A motion has been made. Do you have a second on that?
I second.
Okay, Jerry Burst second that. Any discussion? Okay, hearing no discussion, we'll go ahead and call for a roll call vote. Yay or nay, Art Stevenson?
Yay.
Derek Stevenson?
Oh, dear. I guess I'll say yay.
Okay. Jerry Burt?
Yay.
Steve Jackson? Steve Gordon?
Yay.
Randy Hout? I signify yay as well. I'll call Steve Jackson again. Okay. Steve Jackson? Okay. He might have dropped off the line. Okay. Is there any other business around this item before we move on?
This whole thing to me seems to be based on we're kind of working, trying to work with an entity that's kind of hostile to our program, and I'm just wondering if we're gonna like ever really do anything as long as they're taking the stance that they are. I think the fact that we got the ruling from the judge is pretty strong and should help fix most of the problems that we have anyway. So I don't know. I think we should just kill this thing.
Yeah. Well, Derek, let me share with you what I'm hearing. And obviously, you know, you're right. A ruling from a judge is important. However, you probably haven't seen the objections that OCD submitted because they don't support the ruling. And just because we have a ruling, unless the agency implements those changes and supports them, we're stuck again in a legal battle. You know, we would have to make them do it. And the most recent responses I've seen are, pathetic, to say the least. You know, we've heard for the last 10 years how the agency can't do their job because the law is really ambiguous and unclear. At least that's what their position was. And now that a federal magistrate judge said, no, it's not clear, it's not unclear, you're supposed to follow the mission, purpose, and intent of this act, and that's providing remunerative employment opportunities for people who are blind. Well, the agency now, what's their excuse? Well, now they still don't believe in it. So just because we have a ruling doesn't mean that there aren't, in my opinion, it doesn't mean there aren't other avenues to take. What I can tell you in talking with some of the folks on the ground in Salem, they want to have this discussion, and they want to help find a resolution to this. It is concerning that the policy advisor was involved in this. It is concerning that we were not involved in this. For years and years and years, the agency nor the governor's office has taken much, if any, action to help us, right? But now once we do, somehow they get involved in that. But what I'm hearing from those, we still have a lot of control over this legislation, and I think the statement made recently to those amendments shows that these legislators are going to be supportive of helping us find a way. And if the legislation passes the session, or if it forces discussion, or it creates a task force, or something that we can really get this program worked out, that's where we're going with it. You know, I talked with John Gordon the other day. He said, look, we got legislation passed, but it took us a couple of times to do it, and we went through the same things that you guys are doing. So we're going to obviously protect our best interests. Well, Derek, you know, I'm in this just like you are, but everything I'm seeing right now, other than the amendments that were introduced the other day, seem to be going in the right direction. I do have a meeting with Alana on Monday, and we're going to try and find out how can we work together, how can we, you know, how can we make this a winner-winner for everybody, you know. Need to understand what their objective is. If it's that they don't like this, we'll throw that out the window, you know. I've heard that some of them are coming from the Commission for the Blind Commissioners themselves because they don't really like us. Well, that should be, you know, that should be the driving factor if that's true or not. So if we can find a way to work together, I think you're right. That's going to make the success of it. But, you know, if it goes down a slippery slope, we'll sure address it when we need to. But I think right now, I think we're getting some good signs. That's my take on it, Derek. So.
Okay, well, it's kind of surprising to hear that the Commission for the Blind would actually fight the rulings. It seems like they were trying to make it so that their jobs are easier, so that they have the tools that they need to go out and get employment for blind people, and they just don't want it. It's like they just don't want to have things work easy. I don't understand it.
Yeah. And Jerry, you know, Jerry has those. I mean, certainly if he wants to send those out, or, you know, I mean, I don't know what obligation there are public records, but that's certainly up to Jerry. But I think you guys would probably be surprised, or maybe not. But anyway, so is there any other on this before we move on?
If Jerry could just tell me, explain what the process is if the Commission for the Blind doesn't want it. What happens then? It just goes back to the judge and he reconsiders things, or how does that work?
Well, the way I get it, Derek, is they each have submitted their recommendations again on the ruling. Both sides have seen the ruling. The ruling is the ruling. Now each side has a chance to say, well, I think this part of the ruling wasn't right, or you got it wrong, and we're gonna kind of like question it, and then we'll send you some stuff to kind of prove why we say that. And then the other side does the same. They pretty well sent just about got everything in that was helped us, saying that, oh, no, and the first thing is sovereign immunity. They're trying to use that again, which I'll, you know, that's, anyway, that's already been proven before, but it's almost their same defense, and they don't want it to be that we have a right. They want it to be a better offer happens, and they don't think that we have a priority that, you know, it's a level playing field, you know, and that's our agency that is supporting us, supposed to support us, you know, and so, once again, like Randy said years ago, they wanted to do a test case with Chemeketa, and that's what. And then they dropped out, so we had to pick it up. So we finally get the ruling, like you say, the tools, and they're throwing them tools right back at us and saying we don't want those tools. So anyway, to finish the story is, so now it goes to an even a higher federal judge that looks at them. Looks at Judge Yu, which is the one that wrote the final one, and then both sides. And then she'll decide if anything should be changed, if the other judge had some stuff wrong or what. And then she'll, and they got till the 24th to produce that stuff. And then apparently this judge, I told her, she may have who knows how long she'll take to go through them. And then she'll come down with just saying she accepts the other judge's rulings, that she was right on everything. She may say some things aren't. But, so that's kind of where we are on that. But that's the sad thing is our own agency don't want it to happen, don't want the tools. So.
Hey, Jerry, can I just summarize that also a little bit for
Randy, you know as much, so yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So the main ruling was ruled by Judge Yu, and she did a thoughtful and thorough response. If you guys have taken a chance to read that, I think she did a dynamite job on that. Now, when a judge writes their orders, they don't want to be reversed, right? Or they don't want to be challenged on it. So they take their time to do it properly. Roger Harris, the lead attorney on this case, has identified that counsel does not believe that this ruling is going to be reversed or overturned. However, as I understand it, Judge Magistrate Yu then sends her ruling to a senior judge within that same building, and then the agency and also the counsel can file their objections. So if there's something Roger didn't like in it, he can object to it. If there's something the agency didn't like, they can object to it. So then they both submitted their objections, which have occurred, and then they get another, I believe, 14th day to do cross-objections. So once those cross-objections happen, then the judge will take both of those into consideration. So we'll probably get a final order, I think, within the next month and a half to 2 months. Once that order comes, then that's the final order. The agency then can try and appeal it to a superior court of appeals or whatever, however the ruling stands. But with that being said, and talking with some of the attorneys that know about the agency, they believe the only way that the agency will ever come into compliance is through further legal litigation, and that, unfortunately. So we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully we can find a way through legislative channels and with the governor's office and through this ruling. Hopefully we can find a way to make it better. But if that helps a little bit, that's how I understand it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Okay, is there anybody else on that before we move on to other business?
Randy?
Yes.
I'd also like to throw in there, just so everybody knows, RFA was a named litigant in this, and they didn't contest anything of the ruling. They didn't turn in any objections, as far as I know, which looks a lot better for us. That I just thought I'd throw that in there. They were on the other side, along with the AG for the state in this case, and they didn't file anything.
Thanks, sir. Anybody else on there before we move on?
Yay. Other business. Is there any other business? Any other business? I know I sent out for everybody's consideration an agenda for our regularly scheduled meeting that I believe is on the 27th of this month. So, Eric, hopefully you got that, and everybody else did. And if there's something I left off there, please let me know. And if there's anybody that can also reach out to Salvador and Tessa and just encourage them to participate in these meetings, you know, we voice too. So, any other business? Okay. Well, hearing none, open discussion. Is there any comments anybody wants to make? Eric, you got anything?
Randy, I don't. We're heading up on the commission meeting in about 20 minutes, so.
Okay, well, hearing nothing, let's go ahead and adjourn this meeting. I move to adjourn this meeting, and thank you very much for joining in, everybody.